Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sim I Am, and unfortunately, Nooch is not in the studio tonight, so it is just me, all alone, one-on-one time. We get to know each other a little bit more, listeners. Can't wait. It's going to be a great show tonight. Got a lot of topics. Good topics, too. First off, we're going to talk about the Giants. Unfortunately, their start of their season sucks. They did win today against Colorado to win their series against them, but they're 2-4, a disappointing sweep in their first series, and it's just been a very hard start for the Giants. A lot of errors. They lead the league in errors the first couple games. We'll get into that later, and we'll get into why our ace, Tim Lincecum, in his first two starts, has just absolutely sucked up a storm. He hasn't done anything. No velocity on his fastball. No bite to the slider. Nothing. He doesn't look himself. So we'll talk about it. We'll see what's up with him and how he can recover. I'll also get a breakdown of last night's game, the 17-8 whooping that the Colorado Rockies put on the Giants. I'll get into that and what happened that game. After that, I'll give you my top three and bottom three draft picks that both the Oakland Raiders and the San Francisco 49ers have drafted since 2000. So it's going to be exciting. I'll give you my opinion on who I think were the three busts, first round busts that the Giants or the Niners have had. And Alex Smith is not on that list. We'll see who it is. Stay tuned for that. And then finally, of course, the San Jose and St. Louis Blues game is on today. I'll give you a little preview of the game and what to watch out for while you're watching it. So stay tuned. This is the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to DJ Sam I Am.
The latest gossip, the talk of the town, that's the tea, sweeties. My sidekick, DJ Motastic, and I are here to serve it up. Hot, uncensored, and live to you every Tuesday from 2 to 4 on radio.dominican.edu. Sit back, relax, and grab your sugar cubes, because Nikki P and DJ Motastic are ready to make your Tuesdays a little classier. A touch of class with lots of sass. That's The Tea with Nikki P. Tuesdays from 2 to 4 only on radio.dominican.edu.
Second, I need to get my story straight. My friends are in the bathroom getting higher than the Empire State. My lover, she is waiting for me just across the bar. My seat's been taken by some sunglasses asking about a scar. And I know I gave it to you months ago. I know you're trying to forget. But between the drinks and subtle things, the holes in my apologies, you know, I'm trying hard to take it back. So if by the time the bar closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight. No, I know that I'm not all that you got. I guess that I just thought maybe we could find new ways to fall apart. But our friends are back, so let's raise a tail. 'Cause I found someone to carry me home tonight. We are young, so let's set the world.
store, fool for love and fool on fire. One coming from the rain, she's oceans running down the drain, blue as ice and desire. Don't you wanna make her? Don't you wanna take her home? Don't you wanna break her? Ooh, don't you wanna take her home? She walks like she don't care, walking on imported air. Ooh, it makes you wanna die.
Welcome back to the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sam I Am. So now, first off, we will get into the San Francisco Giants and how they are sucking it up in the beginning of the year. I mean, really the pitching staff is the only problem that's been, it's been really the problem for the Giants, because we've been scoring runs. The past games we have been scoring runs. Our offenses have actually been the best it's been in years past. So it's really a surprise when you see our bullpen just, not even our bullpen, our starting pitching also, Matt Cain, Tim Lincecum. I mean, speaking of Tim Lincecum, he retired only 7 of his 17 batters while failing to complete 3 innings for the first time in 157 starts in their loss last night to the Colorado Rockies, 17-8, and it was at Coors Field, at Colorado. I mean, after 2 outings, Lincecum has a 12.91 ERA. He's allowed 14 hits and 3 walks in 7.2 innings. It is ridiculous how bad and how horrible he is doing. I mean, it's really, I don't know what's wrong with him. I mean, he's a 2-time Cy Young award-winning pitcher, and he is sucking it up. I mean, he can't do anything. And the grind doesn't get any easier. I mean, yeah, he does come back home after today's final game of the series against Colorado. I mean, he comes home Monday against Philadelphia. But, yeah, it's against Philadelphia. And Philadelphia's lineup is almost like an all-star lineup. It's like a Yankee lineup of past. It's crazy ridiculous. And he's throwing against Roy Halladay, one of the greatest pitchers in the league right now. So it doesn't get any easier. I don't know what Tim Lincecum's doing. It didn't look good most of the spring. I mean, his fastball velocity really continues to raise eyebrows. You saw it. I mean, it was really low. 90s. I mean, normally he's zipping it in there, 92. His average last year was 92.2, and he was not meeting that average consistently whatsoever in his first two starts. So that is a little disturbing. But, I mean, on the other hand, it is Tim Lincecum, and I do trust that Tim Lincecum can get out of this little funk. I mean, I think that he's just a little groggy from spring training, still needs to get used to the things it just needs to get things in gear. That's all I think he needs to do. And I mean, he has been through this time before. I mean, remember his 0-5 August in 2010? I mean, the guy could not get a win to save his life, did not pitch well at all, was in a huge slump. People were talking about him not being able to come back. And of course, he got his slider back in the perfect time. And late in the stretch was just absolutely a dynamo for us and took us to the World Series. Now, granted, he did have rookie catcher Hector Sanchez back there. And it is a rookie. Buster Posey was out because he had shingles. And because of that, it might have kind of got into Lincecum's head. I'm not sure. And it did seem to throw Lincecum off. He looked perturbed when Sanchez failed to block a second wild pitch. And it allowed her to score another run in the third. And you saw Lincecum really did not like that. He was a little pissed off about that. But, you know, the good thing about Lincecum, he put the blame squarely on himself, saying, quote, "It's just sloppy baseball for me," end quote. He also said to reporters, quote, "I don't think it's a matter of finding the answers per se. It's just a matter of grinding through it. You have these games or streaks. You just get them out of the way now and grind through it," end quote. Thank God it's at the beginning of the season. He's just getting the funks out. Hopefully he gets out of it, because if our pitching can step it up and our hitting can stay the same, we are a dangerous team, because our lineup is pretty potent and we can score a lot of runs with the speed and power that we have on our lineup. I like our chances. We just need our pitching to step it up. And it's early. I mean, the baseball season's so long. I mean, you can't really start talking about, oh, how teams are going to do this year, because the baseball season goes up and down literally a million times. It's a 162-game season. I mean, it goes on forever. So we'll go over the 17-8 loss. The bullpen report of the game, Guillermo Mota and Jeremy Alfelt both combined. They both allowed 12 hits to their 23 batters they faced. And Brian Wilson made his 2012 debut. The bearded man, Brian Wilson, he allowed a run on a hit and a walk, but he did top out a fastball at 95 miles per hour. So that is very good to see. His arm looks healthy, and he looks ready to go in for some save opportunities. Hopefully he doesn't torture us too much this year. I mean, geez, in the past, that's all Brian Wilson does is torture us Giants fans. At the plate, well, like I said, the Giants really have been doing very well offensively. They erased a 6-0 deficit in the fourth inning, in a 7-run fourth inning. Nate Sheerholtz and Brandon Crawford touched off with back-to-back home runs. Pablo Sandoval hit an RBI double, and Gregor Blanco drew a pinch walk to load the bases for Hector Sanchez, who hit a 2-run single. And it was a very good inning for the Giants offense. It's great to see that they can explode like that for a six-run outburst. It's really good to see that, because in the past, we were lucky to get six games in 1 month, let alone one inning. So it's good that we can string together some hits. Our lineup looks good. In the field, though, is another concern. And our errors are a huge factor in why we cannot put together why we were doing so bad in the beginning. We lead the league in errors in these first couple games. So our errors are through the roof. And I mean, I don't know if it's youth. I don't know if it's lack of focus, lack of fundamentals, but it needs to stop. And if it doesn't stop, it's going to be trouble for the Giants. I mean, Brett Pill committed two errors on one play in the fifth inning. And if you didn't see the game, so what had happened was, fifth inning, Michael Kadire on first, Todd Helton on second. There was two outs in the inning. Ramon Hernandez singles up the middle. Helton scores, and Brett Pill cuts off the throw from center, lets the ball tick off his glove, and it's an error there because Hernandez takes second, and Kadire dashes for the plate. Hector Sanchez, the catcher, makes a nice sliding scoop, throw to Affelt covering home. Kadire caught in a rundown. Affelt throws too early to third base. Pablo Sandoval throws home to Pill. Pill drops the ball. Error number two. Kadire scores. Pill throws to third base, where shortstop Crawford is covering, and Hernandez is safe at third. No outs on the play. And Pill, two errors. So, I mean, if you keep doing those type of plays, I swear there's no way the Giants can... I mean, that's little league stuff. It honestly is little league stuff, and I don't understand why they can't get that right. I mean, that's what spring training's for. The Giants were just, I guess, still in spring training. They were still in Arizona these couple games. Well, they were, because they actually they played Arizona at Arizona, so they thought that they were still in spring training the first series. That's why they got swept. So hopefully they can step it up. The attendance at the Rockies, a little fun fact, the attendance at the Rockies announced 30,337 paid. And yeah, just a little fun fact. And today's game, the Giants won, like I said before. And it was 22-year-old Madison Bumgarner taking on 49-year-old Jamie Moyer. It was the third largest age difference between opposing starting pitchers in Major League history, and the largest in nearly five decades. The only instance with a wider age gap both involved Satchel Paige, who was 59 years old when he started for the Kansas City A's in 1965. So it's good to see that Madison Bumgarner got the win today. He had seven strong innings. So it's good to see that. When you come back, I will give you the top three draft picks and the bottom three, or in the top three busts that the Niners and the Oakland Raiders have had since 2000. You won't want to miss who I have. Stay tuned. This is the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu.
Hey there, this is DJ Noni, and I'm the host of Finding Your Voice. Join me every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. for a treasure trove of life wisdom that will help you navigate and find your way as you discover who you are and what your purpose is. I'll share personal and professional experience, interviews, letters from listeners, and inspiration. What can I do to support and encourage you as you become who you want to be on your journey? Life? We can do this thing. And that'll be on Mondays from 4 to 5 p.m. on radio.dominican.edu.
And why I got out of bed at all. The morning rain picture on my wall. It reminds me that it's not so bad. It's not so bad. I drank too much last night. Got bills to pay. My head just feels in pain. I missed the bus and there'll be hell today. I'm late for work again. And even if I'm there, they'll all imply that I might not last the day. And then you call me and it's not so bad. It's not so bad. And I want to thank you for giving me the best day.
Don't think we ain't nothing but mammals. Well, some of us cannibals who put other people open like antelopes. But if we can dead animals and antelopes, then there's no reason that a man and another man can't elope. But if you feel like I feel, I got the antidote. Women wave your toes, sing the chorus, and it goes.
I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up, please stand up. Cause I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up, please stand up.
Smith don't got a cuss in his raps to sell records. Well, I do, so f*** him and f*** you too. You think I give a d*** about a Grammy? Half you critics can't even stomach me, let alone stand me. But Slim, what if you win? Wouldn't it be weird? Why? You guys can just lie to get me here, so you can sit me here next to Britney Spears? Christina Aguilera better switch me chairs, so I can sit next to Carson Daly and Fred Durst, and hear him argue over who she gave to first. Little put me on blast on MTV. Yeah, he's cute, but I think he's married to Kim. I said download her audio on MP3 and show the whole world how you gave him an MP3. I'm sick of you little girl and boy groups, all you do is annoy me, so I have been sitting here to destroy you. And there's a million of us just like me, who cuss like me, who just don't give a f*** like me, who dress like me, walk, talk, and act like me, and just might be the next best thing, but not quite me.
I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady, all you other Slim Shady
stand up, please stand up, please stand up. I'm like a head trip to listen to, cause I'm only giving you things you joke about with your friends inside your living room. The only difference is I got the to say it in front of y'all, and I don't gotta be false or sugarcoated at all. I just get on a mic and spit it, and whether you like to admit it, I just better than 90% of you rappers out, kid. Then you wonder how can kids eat up these albums like it's funny, cause at the rate I'm going when I'm 30, I'll be the only person in a nursing home flirting. Pinks and nurses when I'm for jerkins, and I'm but this whole bag of isn't working. And every single person is a Slim Shady lurking. He could be working at Burger King, spitting on your onion rings, or in the parking lot circling, screaming, I don't give a f with his windows down and the system up. So will the real Shady please stand up and put one of those fingers on each hand up and be proud to be out of your mind and out of control. And one more time, loud as you can, how does it go?
I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up, please stand up, please stand up. Cause I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up, please stand up, please stand up. Cause I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up, please stand up, please stand up. Cause I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up, please stand up, please stand up.
Yes, this is Slim Shady and all of us.
This is DJ.
And hello. Welcome back to the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to DJ Sam I Am. So, like I said before, we are going to get into the top, my opinion at least, my picks. You don't have to agree with them, but I believe that they are pretty precise, and I'll give reasons why. So the top three draft picks since 2000 that the Oakland Raiders have had. And yes, they actually had good draft picks. So first, number one, Sebastian Janikowski, their current kicker. He was a first round pick, selected number 17 overall in 2000 out of Florida State. So way back in 2000, Sebastian Janikowski was drafted in the first round. And it was quite the head-scratcher, but Davis, the owner, really did not care, because earlier he had, in 1973, he actually drafted a first-round punter, Ray Guy. So going with Sebastian Janikowski in the first round really wasn't that big of a deal to him. After 13 seasons, I mean, it's exactly what the Raiders have expected from Sebastian Janikowski. The moment they cross the 50-yard line, you're guaranteed a field goal. The guy has the strongest leg that the game probably has ever seen. He has hit the NFL record-tying 63-yard field goal at Denver to open the 2011 season, if you guys forgot about that. Really, you can't say, I mean, probably one of the greater kickers since 2000. I mean, Sebastian Janikowski, besides Adam Vinatieri and clutchness, I'm talking about distance-wise, he has always had the strongest leg in football, and Sebastian Janikowski definitely deserves to be top of the list at number one for the Raiders' top draft pick since 2001. Number two, sticking with the trend of special teams, it would be punter Shane Leckler. He was a fifth-round pick, selected number 142 overall in 2000 out of Texas A&M. And it was the same draft as it was the 2000 draft. So it was Al Davis bought or drafted Sebastian Janikowski and Shane Leckler. It was four rounds and 125 picks later from Sebastian Janikowski. And I mean, Dante Hall, Mark Bulger, and some guy named Tom Brady were still on the board when Al Davis went with Shane Leckler. Everyone can scratch their head on the Brady mystery. Everyone discounted Brady and did not see him doing what he is doing in his career. Shane Lechler, his career is a 47.6 yards per punt average, and it's the best in league history. It's ahead of Hall of Famer Sammy Baugh's 45.1 career average. I mean, like Janikowski, Lechler is a weapon on special teams. His franchise record, 80-yard punt against Chicago last season, is Exhibit A of why he is one of the greater punters in league history. So, I mean, you're getting two special teamers, two kicker and a punter in the same draft. Greatest, probably greatest in the league. And then third is, of course, Nnamdi Asamoah. He was a first-round selection, number 31 overall in the 2003 draft out of Cal. Got to represent Cal. Love Cal Berkeley. So Davis really in this was going against everyone's opinion. Nnamdi Asamoah was nowhere near anyone's draft boards in the first round, especially not with Charles Tillman, E.J. Henderson, Lance Briggs. They were still out there. And, I mean, sure, Asamoah did struggle as initially when he got in the NFL, but, I mean, he was tutored as a rookie by Rod Woodson, and, I mean, after that, he has just sprung on right behind Darrelle Revis for the best cornerback in the league right now. I mean, he's always a all-pro selection. He's one of the best cover cornerbacks in the NFL. Sadly for the Raiders, they never had a winning season with him on the team, and now, of course, he is on Philadelphia. And when Philadelphia went on their shopping spree, if you will, with free agents. Other honorable mentions for the Oakland Raiders, you have Tyvon Branch, the strong safety, fourth-round selection in 2008 out of Connecticut. That was a steal. You also have Denarius Moore, wide receiver, punt returner, who was in the fifth round out of Tennessee into this last year, 2011. You have Justin Fargas, who they snatched in the third round, 2003, out of USC. And then, of course, Jared Veltier, their left tackle, who they stole out of the third round, and he was from Hillsdale, and that was in 2010. So, yes, you might not believe it, but the Oakland Raiders did have some smart draft picks. Although they did have some smart ones, they are very notorious, and I say very notorious, for their crappy draft picks. And their bottom three draft picks are very interesting. Number one is, of course, everyone loves to talk about this guy, Jamarcus Russell, the first selection of the 2007 draft out of LSU. I mean, really, there's no question. I mean, Russell was the biggest bust in NFL draft history, I think. Literally and figuratively. I mean, the guy was supposed to be the greatest quarterback ever in the game with his size, his build, and the way he was able to throw a ball. The guy had a cannon for an arm. I mean, unbelievable cannon. But, I mean, mentally, the guy, you can tell he didn't go to school. I mean, yeah, he attended LSU, but I guarantee you he didn't go to class. I mean, if you've seen interviews of Jamarcus Russell, it is very interesting how he graduated from LSU. I mean, it's amazing. He probably didn't graduate, to be honest. He lost 18 of the 25 games he started, completed just 52.1% of his passes, threw 23 interceptions with 18 touchdowns. He lost 15 fumbles and had a career passer rating of a measly 65.2 after three seasons. And it's been nearly 2 years since Davis released him, and Russell, and his six-year, and I say $61 million contract with $32 million guaranteed. I mean, Jamarcus Russell, $32 million guaranteed, and the guy did not do anything and just basically gave him so much money. I can't believe it. The guy can barely even compile a sentence together. So number two, this is a little surprising. My pick, Rolando McClain. He was a first pick out of the 2009 draft, number 8 overall out of Alabama. Now, some may say, yeah, he is still young. I mean, he doesn't turn 23 until July 14th. So he still has time to grow. And he did go to a different defense than he was at Alabama. He's in the 4-3 defense of the Oakland Raiders. And back at Alabama, he was the middle linebacker with help, someone next to him in the 3-4 system. So, I mean, in my eyes, Rolando McClain, the Oakland Raiders drafted Rolando McClain just in the same hopes as we drafted Patrick Willis. They wanted Rolando McClain to be like a Patrick Willis. We got Patrick Willis, and he just sprouted into the best middle linebacker in the game. And that's what the Oakland Raiders were thinking. And really, Rolando McClain was too young, and he's starting to learn now. And I think he will get better. I mean, he has the build to be a solid center middle linebacker in the NFL. But, I mean, it has been a couple years, and he hasn't really made a big impact statistically. So we'll keep an eye on him. And number three draft bust that the Oakland Raiders have drafted was Robert Gallery, their first-round pick, selected number 2 overall in 2004 out of Iowa. I mean, yeah, the guy looked good. I mean, he looked like the Undertaker from the WWE. I mean, he had that badass look. Looked like he was ready to kill someone, really. He had the sunken eyes, kind of like raccoon eyes. I mean, he looked like a scary dude ready to hurt a defensive lineman. But, I mean, really, he did not pan out to be as good as the Oakland Raiders would have hoped. And he really just didn't fit for the Oakland Raiders. They did not help him, coach him well, and he did not mature at all. So we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I will switch it over to the Bay, or over to the other side of the Bay, and give you the top 3 draft picks that the San Francisco 49ers have, and the top 3 busts that the Niners have had. Good picks. Stay tuned. You won't want to miss them. This is DJ Sam I Am at radio.dominican.edu. This is the Power Hour.
Before me, the greats of my past have walked this way, left blueprints, and they've lost themselves, relapsed and recovered. I realize I'm not the only young explorer, however, I am in no race, the journey is all of ours, but I cannot lie, I desire the victory of achievement to be mine. Humbled, however fearless, I am exposed to the criticism of onlookers, but my faith and direction come from above. I am airborne. With darkness all around me, elevating through the atmosphere. Notions of doubt surround me, but not impact, no fear. Y'all want the celebration, I want the constellations aligning all in my favor, shining through all the nation. So when you kids wake up, I'm the brightest thing that you see, cause I got my mind made up, and it ain't no sweet 16 unless I write some down. Trends at the transmission, and as they belt around, y'all get the first edition. Some said I'm spaced out, oh well I guess they right, cause I got a whole nother outlook. Look, I told y'all on my first flight, I'm just a youngin' that's on a mission for the world to listen. A premonition of what our forefathers had envisioned. I'm a rapper's delight, these are the breaks, so here's the message. I'm on my way, I'm a rare form, in rare form. Young Giggy, I'm airborne.
I'm airborne, taking me higher, I got the light now.
Higher, I got the light now, and I'm on fire. I'm on my way, my way, my way. I'm on my way, my way, my way. there. Are you a fan of Two and a Half Men? No. How about the Big Bang Theory?
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state.
Okay, no. So, Star Wars? No. Okay. So, you know what? Forget about it. It doesn't matter. Because we are going to cover everything on TV and movies. This is Camera Roll. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 6. Only on radio.dominican.edu.
Maybe I should buy some old tab collars. Welcome back to the age of jive. Where have you been hiding out lately, honey? You can't dress trashy till you spend a lot of money. Everybody's talking about the new sound. Funny, but it's still rock and roll to me. What's the matter with the car I'm driving? Can't you tell that it's out of style? Should I get a set of white wall tires? Are you gonna cruise the Miracle Mile? Nowadays you can't be too sentimental. Your best bet's true baby blue Continental. Hot funk, cool punk, even if it's old junk, it's still rock and roll to me. Baby, if you just give it half a chance. Don't waste your money on a new set of speakers. You get more mileage from a cheap pair of sneakers. Next phase, new way, dance crazy. Anyways, it's still rock and roll to me. Don't you know that they're out of touch? Well, should I try to be a straight A student? If you are, then you think too much. Don't you know about the new fashion, honey? All you need are looks and a whole lot of money. It's the next phase, new wave, dance crazy. Anyways, it's still rock and roll to me. Everybody's talking about the new sound, funny, but it's still rock and roll to me.
Zephyr in the sky, yeah.
Welcome back to the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. We're headed near the end of our show. So now the top three picks of the 49ers draft since 2003. Number one at the top of the list, of course, in my opinion, would be Patrick Willis. He was our first round pick in 2007. There was a large doubt in 49ers fans who were calling for the team to fill a need and select defensive lineman Adam Carriker with their first round pick. There's certainly no consensus within the 49ers draft room. But then the GM, Scott McLaughlin, determined that Carriker might be a solid player, but that Patrick Willis had the potential to be a superstar, and he was correct. Really, Willis is on a Hall of Fame pace. He has 5 Pro Bowl appearances in 5 NFL seasons. And a little fun fact, he is currently in the semifinals, the final 4, in the NFL Madden cover for 2013. He's going up against Cam Newton. I don't know if I even want him to win because of the curse that everyone knows about, that that when you're on the cover of NFL, of Madden, that the next season you're injured. And it has been a curse for years. So I actually don't want Patrick Willis to be on the cover. I hope Cam Newton wins. Cam Newton, go Cam Newton. Number two, top draft pick is Frank Gore, 2005 third-round draft pick. The 49ers selected him with the number 65 overall pick, and Sports Illustrated called him the most overrated running back in the draft. But instead, Gore has been the most productive runner from the 2005 class. McLaughlin took a chance on him. He sustained 2 torn ACLs at Miami, but Gore, I mean, he's been phenomenal. 5,000-yard rushing seasons. He's never averaged less than a 4.2 yard per carry during any of his 7 seasons. He has 7,625 rushing yards. And Gore is the 49ers' all-time leader since the club joined the NFL in 1950. Yeah, it was a good pick. Frank Gore, definitely love the guy. He has been a consistent running back for us and a consistent star for all of our horrible years as 49er fans. We know that Gore was really, once we drafted him, our only bright spot that we have ever had. And then now, number three is offensive lineman Eric Heitman, the 2002 draft pick in the 7th round. It was a steal in the 7th round. He had a really short but very solid career with the 49ers at guard and center before he had a neck injury that cut his career short. Before his retirement, though, Heitman was named the winner of the Bob McKittrick Award for 3 consecutive seasons, 2006 through 2008. So that's very impressive. The Bob McKittrick Award is the most outstanding or the best offensive lineman in the NFL. Other honorable mentions that the Niners have drafted, of course, this year's draft pick, Aldon Smith, in the 1st round, who almost won the rookie of the year, but just came short. I mean, he had a phenomenal year, sack machine. You also have Vernon Davis, 1st round, out of 2006. You also have Navarro Bowman, who we got out of the 3rd round. Isaac Sopawaka, who we got out of the 4th round. Deshaun Goldson, also out of the 4th round. Andy Lee, who's been outstanding for us, one of my favorite players on the Niners, in the 6th round in 2004, and then long snapper Brian Jennings in the 7th round in 2000. There have been very good draft picks for the 49ers. Also, some crappy ones, unfortunately. I think the worst would be Kentwan Bomber, our 2008 first round selection. We were looking to strengthen our defensive line, so we took Bomber, who had 1 good season at North Carolina, and we took him with the number 29 overall pick. But Bomber missed his flight to the Bay Area the next morning, and that really pretty much sums up his forgettable tenure with the 49ers. In his 2 seasons with the Niners, he never started a game. He just saw himself slipping down the depth chart in training camp in 2010. He quit and forced a trade The Seahawks took him off the 49ers' hands for just a six-round pick, and the Seahawks got rid of him after only one season. So that was a very big bust. Number two, Rashawn Woods, our 2004 first-round selection. The 49ers, we originally had the 16th pick that year, but Donahue traded back a couple of times, landed with Woods with the number 31 overall pick. This was after we got rid of Terrell Owens, and Woods even was issued number 81, Terrell Owens' old number. And Woods' actual true passion, analysts say, was fishing. So, NFL really wasn't his top choice. He caught just 7 passes for 160 yards as a rookie. The following year, the 49ers were quick to just replace him on the injury or to place him on the injury reserve with a thumb injury. He was then traded to San Diego for cornerback Sammy Davis, and Sammy Davis just played one season. I don't even remember him being on the roster, so that's how forgettable he is. Number three, last but certainly not least, very recent, Taylor Mays, our second-round draft pick in 2010. He's definitely a member of the all-hype team. Mays, he was 6'3", 230. He impressed everyone at the combine with his workout. The guy looked outstanding. He looked the part, and we gave Mike Singletary the call to decide which way he wanted to go, and he chose Mays. And it's weird, Mike Singletary making a bad decision. That's weird. Mays got his chance to play as a rookie when veteran safety Michael Lewis left the team, but Mays could not hold on to the starting job. He couldn't do anything. And we traded him this year to the Cincinnati Bengals for a 7th-round pick only in this upcoming draft. In the 2013 draft. Sorry, the following draft. So those are the top three and the bottom three draft picks that both of the Bay Area teams have had. Some good ones, some bad ones. Hopefully some good ones this upcoming draft, which is this month, coming up soon. We're running out of time, unfortunately. If you guys aren't watching it, the Sharks game is currently on. We are down 2-1 in the third period. There's 7 minutes left in this period. We were up 1-0. But unfortunately, we gave up the lead. The St. Louis Blues, again, are currently up. We have 16 shots on goal, while the St. Louis Blues have 23. So hopefully the Sharks can squeak one out here. It's been a great time. Hope everyone has a great weekend. Stay safe. And if you aren't busy this weekend, the Dominican Penguins have a game at Cal State East Bay on Saturday. Kickoff is at 5:15, and we also have a doubleheader, another game at 6:45 at the same place. Come support your Penguins. If you're not doing anything, might as well. Thanks for listening. This was the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sam I Am. See you next week. Train.